No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
That's like blasphemy or something. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd, and all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse.
And do you think that Jesus has a big dick? Or Jesus probably had a big penis, right?
I mean,
I thought that was what you were going to open things up with today.
I thought about it, but I felt like I needed to kind of give everybody a warning that we're going to get a little playfully blasphemous.
I went there already then.
Yeah, this is our live, uncut, and mostly undrawn monthly bonus series, To Be or Not to Be, where we troll the free streaming services to look for something maybe a little lower budget, maybe without a lot of advertisement or wide release, and we just try and explore something new. Today, Travis has chosen something thematically appropriate as this is being released on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. I just happened to pick Bloody Bloody Bible Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Easter, but we are getting religious here today on the episode. Yeah. So, you know, I hope everybody is ready for that.
Yeah. So this is going to be an interesting one to talk about. I'm kind of excited to get into it. Travis, do you have background information on it?
I do. Okay. I got some background stuff here. Okay.
First of all, why did you choose this?
Well, I had one that I was going to pick before. It was called Wolf Cop. It seemed like a really fun movie, but we watched On the Last Drive-In last night, a movie called Rotten Tail, which mm-hmm. was like almost the exact same premise and
yeah.
sounded exactly like it. So I didn't really want to watch the same movie two times.
Which, by the way, we did discuss. Rotten Tail has one of the best taglines we've ever seen in a movie, which is hippity hoppity homicide.
Yeah, I do like
no
that.
No notes. Yeah. I don't know that we could ever punch that up.
No, I don't think so either. So I had like just a backup instead if I didn't end up feeling that, and Bloody Bloody Bible Camp is one of them. So I was like, fuck it, let's just do that. It's come up on Amazon Prime. I've seen it there like so many times. I've watched the trailer a time or two just because I was curious about it, and I was like, what the hell, this time.
Okay.
You know, it seems low budget. It's like, it's a perfect Tubi movie. So let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So Bloody Bloody Bible Camp, that released May 5th, 2012. It is written by Shelby McIntyre and Vito Tribuccio.
Okay.
Directed by Vito Tribuccio. I'm not sure if I'm saying the name right. It's a Trabuccio.
Okay. That's as good a guess as I could venture without looking it up.
Okay. Music by Reggie Bannister and Carlos Vives.
Reggie Bannister is Father Cummings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's also somebody else I'm going to get in.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So he is Father Cummings, and he is also, you are not familiar, but all of the people out there that love Phantasm, yes, he is Reggie from Phantasm. You're not familiar. You're just giving mm-hmm. me the look. Yeah. People out there that love Phantasm, Reggie's one of the most consistent characters throughout the entire series. He's the ice cream man in the first one. He is like the best friends with one of the brothers. I don't really know most of the other characters' names in that. This isn't doing much for you. It's okay.
Yeah.
He plays guitar in it. So okay. he actually plays guitar, okay? like that's like one of his things. Special effects makeup done by Autops FX. Starring Reggie Bannister as Father Richard Cummings.
Autopsy.
Autops Effects.
I thought it was Autopsy.
Because
I remember seeing it on the credits and being like, oh, that's clever because it's like a play on Autopsy.
It might be, actually. I don't know. I could have written it down wrong. I wrote down Autops.
Okay.
But Autopsy Effects probably is right. I don't know. It's either one of those two. All right. Starring Reggie Bannister as Father Richard Cummings. Yvette Corvea as Millie. Jay Fields as Brother Zeke. Matt Aiden as Tad.
Tad!
Jessica Sonnenborn as Brittany. Deborah Venegas as Jennifer. Troy Guthrie as Vance. Christopher Raff as Timmy. Sister Mary Chopper is played by Tim Sullivan. Yes, that Tim Sullivan that we talked about on our Scream Queens 2 episode, our Patreon episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Jeremy as Jesus. all right. Budget or bug, Ted, Jesse?
Well, Travis, I think I'm going to have to go with Bughead.
I'm going to go with Bughead also, even though I don't have the budget here, but this is like
that's
probably
always the surefire.
I think that this is probably the most obvious Bughead movie I've seen in a long, long time. I don't have any box office information for this either. I do have an IMDb score. Do you think that that is budget or Bughead, high or low?
I don't want to guess because I actually saw it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I kept going, that person looks familiar, that person looks familiar.
You probably knew who the killer was before.
I knew you did. Well, yeah. Here's the thing, though, is that in a small production like this, sometimes people are just used as like a body double. So it's just true. Like, oh, well, maybe that's a thing because we're going to see that on Winnie the Pooh also.
Okay.
Yeah, so when that comes out later this week.
Okay.
Yeah, it. I just assumed it was kind of like one of those like budget things. Oh, we need somebody to fill in this costume. This movie seemed to have very little plot to it. So I was like, oh, we probably just won't ever actually find out who the killer is.
Yeah. It's okay. So the IMDb is 4.5. So.
Which is higher than I would have expected.
Yeah, same here. All right. So I did pick three movies.
Okay.
That I tried to keep on theme with religious.
Okay.
This one, though, the first one's kind of cheating, but, like, I'm going to say I was deceived. It was written, and then I found out that it was actually a 2013 movie.
Oh, sometimes, like, it will say 2012. It was, like, in the festival circuit.
I didn't see any alternate release dates in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was listed in, like, Wikipedia's 2012 horror movies page. So, I don't know. Like, it threw me off. But I had to include it because it's called Crossbearer.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the release date I did get for that is October 9th, 2013. I don't have a budget or a worldwide gross, but the IMDb score is 3.3 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really know like what all is going on with that movie. Like it seems like it's a really low budget religious related horror movie. Are you looking it up right now?
I'm looking at...
You're looking up the release dates.
Yeah, because I was just curious. Yeah, see, it's just yeah, a wow. Yeah. Heather is broke. She has a soul-sucking job as a stripper. Her living girlfriend, Victoria, has a baby and a coke problem. Her boss, Harry, is an abusive maniac. Life cannot get much worse, or so she thought.
Okay, Jesus. Okay, that sounds terrible. Moving on. Second movie ad, The Lords of Salem. The okay. Rob Zombie movie.
Okay.
The reason I chose that is because they... end up becoming a coven of devil worshippers. So
a Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That released September 10th, 2012 with a $1.5 million budget and a $1.5 million gross.
Keep zombie and zombie.
Mm-hmm. IMDb 5.2 okay. out of 10. Not seen that. I've wanted to watch that one for a while.
A lot of people have said that that's Sherry Moon Zombie's best acting.
I've heard that. I heard somebody once describe it as if Rob Zombie tried to make a Jawa. I don't know how accurate that is because I've never seen the movie.
I haven't seen that one so far today, and this is on the record. You can go back and listen. I think Sherry Moon Zombie's best acting is in the first Halloween remake.
That's what I think too. She killed it in that one. Yeah. I was gonna say though, I've not seen that movie, but it's one that I really, really do want to watch. I love the idea of a Rob Zombie giallo. I want to see him tackle that type of genre.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the final one is Hellbenders, which is about a bunch of, I think, priests or something like that. I don't know. Their whole...
So not to be confused with Hellbender.
Yeah. Yeah, this is different. They're they're like debaucherous. They're like...
Same.
Yeah. Their whole point is like they're trying to drag other demons down to hell.
Okay.
So they're doing good, but they're kind of like blasphemous in the process. So...
Well, I imagine. Yeah. You know, if you're going to hell, it's kind of part of the thing.
But they're good guys. They're like actually part of the church. So I don't know. It's a horror comedy.
Okay.
Yeah. And it had a pretty surprising cast. So I don't know. It could be interesting. But that released September 9th, 2012. I don't have the budget, but it did gross $64,000. And it has a 4.9 on IMDb.
Okay.
All right. And I have one tagline for Bloody Bloody Bible Camp. And that tagline reads as, "Heaven is for everyone except you."
Okay.
Which is what Jesus says to us in this movie.
Yeah.
Specifically us.
Us, the viewer. Yeah. Which was like also kind of the final line, if you don't count the mid-credits stuff.
Yeah. That counted as the final line.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's kind of a good closing remark for them to make the point that I think they were trying to make throughout most of the movie, but maybe missed the mark a little bit.
What point is that?
That a lot of religious institutions tend to be kind of hypocritical with what they think is good or bad, and saying that Jesus is supposed to love everyone, but then they've got, you know, like a whole list of asterisks to it. But, you know, the people that are involved in the church are fine and great, even though they're actually doing really awful things too.
Yeah.
So it, you know, and I think generally that's what they're doing throughout this, but, you know, there's a couple of moments that miss the mark for me a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But no, I think you're on the right track with that for sure. Okay. So let's get into our discussion of it then, the good, bad, ugly, and absurd. So what did you think is good about this movie?
I loved the whole, cold open.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted the whole movie to be like that.
I did, too.
I thought it had some really, like, funny moments. Definitely over-the-top gratuitousness with it, but I think that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was just all very, like, pointed in what was happening. I think, like I said, the general point that it seems like they're trying to make, I appreciate. Especially, like, I feel like that's very blatant with, like, Jennifer's character, too.
Yeah, she's there to call out the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So I really liked all of those aspects of it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, too. The only other good thing that I had to offer is, like, the killer, like, Mary...
Sister Mary Chopper.
Like, she had, like, she had good potential to be a really cool killer.
Yeah.
Like, I like the design and everything. I like the cross knife that she has. Other than that, like, I like the opening a lot too. Like, I feel like they kind of blew their budget in the first 5 to 10 minutes of this movie.
Possibly
that could have been what happened. I don't know, but yeah, it started off real great and it had a lot of potential to it. So now let's talk about some of the bad.
Okay, so the bad, and this happens so much. Okay, so we talk about this. If you're a fan of horror movies, representation is important in all areas, right? Like, you want to see characters represented as the protagonist and as the killer. Like, you want to have that equal representation. And we still have a long ways to go with trans characters. A lot of their horror representation tends to be as the killers, which is problematic even when you give it, like, a good, like, reasoning behind it, like, oh, they're justified because of evil and blah 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 blah. And like, I'm not saying that that can't have a positive impact. There are so many people online that talk about like Angela as a character in Sleepaway Camp being so positive for them as a trans person.
We saw somebody like actually talk to the Sleepaway cast and say that at Scarefest.
Yes. Yeah. But it just it and again, I get what this movie was trying to do. Like, they were trying to say, like, oh, you're a bad person, you're going to hell, and you're going to be a preacher, but you can't be a preacher because you also say that you're a woman, but you were born, you were assigned male at birth. And, you know, it's crossing a line with zero finesse with it. You know what I mean?
It's weird, like, because that one right there was also one that I think was done against the person's will. From the looks of it,
it's so confusing. Like, I'm so confused.
It's kind of it seemed to me like they were trying to do a Sleepaway Camp type thing here.
It kind of seemed like that, or like that one, the really bad Christmas movie we covered around on TV in December.
All Through the House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I get what filmmakers are trying to do with that, but I also feel like when you do it, you need to do it with a little bit of finesse and really think about the message that you're sending across instead of just like, the killer's a killer because they're trans. Like, you need to show a little bit more of that. And I get that this movie is showing like hypocrisy and everything all throughout, and it specifically addresses like homophobia in the church and racism and pedophilia. Like, it tackles all of that, and it does it with like a little wink and a nod. And I feel like it's not done the same with Sister Mary Chopper.
No, I don't think so.
And it's
so,
so
yeah.
like, even within its own universe, it's kind of othering.
Yeah.
So it just, again, like, you know, we've joked around with Talia, like, it's good for her to see, like, dogs be the bad guys sometimes because, you know, it's fun for her, you know. As a woman, I like seeing woman killers. And, you know, we talk about that with, like, people of color. They need to have, like, a variety of roles. We need that for trans characters as well.
Yeah.
They need to just be treated as fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are. They're fucking people. Like... It just, I feel like we haven't covered a single horror movie on this show yet where the trans character has not been the killer, whatever their motivation is given.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In universe. So that is, and that's not necessarily a this movie problem. It's an overall problem.
Yeah. It's also like a thing of like reflective of when certain movies are made, because like we got to also remind ourselves this movie's over a decade old at this point.
Yeah, and
I'm not saying that like makes anything right or wrong. I'm just trying to like put context into certain things also.
Yeah, and we are looking at things through a more modern lens because, you know, we can't just watch all of the latest releases and cover them.
Yeah.
We want to cover a variety of different things. Other than that, I think that this movie has some pacing problems. Like I said, I would have loved it if the whole movie was like the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
But it really, like, it's bad news when I, because this is the first thing we watched today, and I'm, like, pulling out my phone here and there, checking stuff on IMDb, like, oh, maybe I'm going to check Twitter real quick. Like, it should be holding my attention better than that.
Yeah. That was one of my things, too, is, like, if you got more, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not every movie has to be an hour and a half. Like, it definitely feels like they're padding the runtime. You know what? I don't, with a movie like this, I don't even necessarily, like, expect a great plot most of the time, but don't just add shit in to make the runtime longer.
See, I didn't even feel like they were adding shit in to make the runtime longer. I just think that they didn't write shit until, like, they wrote shit to go down in the very beginning of the movie, and then they wrote for shit to go down at the very end. And then the middle is a bunch of nothing.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, like, scenes of, like, you know, the Bible camp going on. And, like, I don't know, like, that could be entertaining if that's what we were trying to sign up for. But, like, I signed up for Bloody Bloody Bible Camp. I didn't sign up for, what's it called again? Happy Day Bible Camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, like, a lot of nothing happens for a long time. And then, like, it would have been cool if we just get some kills scattered here and there. But, like, with the killer, Sister Mary Chopper, we just get scenes of her just in her lair.
Yes.
Just with, like, a worship, like an altar, and then just praying and, like, talking to a baby doll. And, like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand the point of doing that. Why not have this person that had all this potential out there just doing shit throughout the movie? You know, like, I mean, that's just,
why not make Millie more important? She's the return character.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she, like, this movie just, like, I don't know. I think I don't know if they had an idea what they were doing until they got there. They got names attached to this thing too, is what is blowing my mind. They got Tim Sullivan. He's got, like, established credits. Like, he's done some stuff. They've got Reggie. He's part of Phantasm. That is, like, one of the longest running, and he is one of the most consistent characters throughout the entire series. Like, it just kind of surprises me that, like, it ends up being a bunch of nothing, and it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I guess, like, other things, like, it just also kind of feels like scenes just kind of get stitched together.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's a lot of, like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then that happens. Like, none of it flows. And then, like, another thing for me is, like, I just, some of the jokes are fine, but I feel like the comedy in this movie did not land with me personally. Maybe some people like it, but it's a lot of, like, it's just a lot of, like, low-hanging fruit jokes, one after another, just, like,
and
fucking firing them off.
And if they're going to do that, you need to be really over the top with it, or you need to, like, layer in some more subtle stuff at the same time. Like, it can't just be, it feels lazy in a way.
I like dick and fart jokes as much as the next person. Yes. I did like at the very beginning, the very first line we get, Jesus probably had a big penis. I like that. That got a chuckle out of me.
Yeah.
But like, it just like, it's just a bunch of like dick and like sex jokes, and like, it's just like some of like the worst,
like there's
not imaginative at all.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I say go over the top, but I feel like you need to do it. You can have dumb humor, but it has to be done smartly.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that with Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, I get the point that they're trying to make, that the church people. So we've got Zeke, who is a creep. He's a full-on pedophile. He's watching their underage campers get undressed, and he's like so cartoonishly evil. Like,
he's not the only one.
And he's not the only one. We've got the priest. Yeah, we've got Father Cummings, who's like implied to be having a very inappropriate relationship with Timmy, who...
It's that, and it's also, I mean, he's just like the stereotypical priest, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, like everybody knows that.
Yeah, like what has unfortunately become a stereotype of, you know, taking advantage of young parishioners.
Yeah, and then Millie and Jennifer develop a relationship, which, I mean, it's like a fucking counselor. Like,
yes.
Like, what's the age of these people? Like, are they like adults? Like, what the fuck is it? I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like, and I get what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that these people, just because they're associated with the church, doesn't mean they're good people. So how hypocritical of them to condemn these other people to hell?
Yeah.
Like, and I get that that's the point that they're making, but again, do it in a way that like is good storytelling. Like, make a good movie. That's why the first 10 minutes were so funny, because it was kind of over the top, but you got the message, and then we got straight to the killing.
Yeah.
Like, that works great as a 10-minute short film.
And it worked.
It
moved along.
Yeah, got what was happening. And it felt like they were trying to do the same stuff with the rest of the movie, except they had to make it, you know, 5 times longer.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. So it was struggling a little bit with that.
Okay. Ugly stuff.
I guess I'm just, you know, a lot.
We already said,
yeah, like basically, yeah. And I mean, we've both grew up in the South, and we've both been, you know, we've both experienced stuff with churches, seeing that hypocrisy face to face, you know. I'm not joking when I've, you know, tried to have these kinds of conversations that Jennifer tries to have during the Bible Bowl. You know, like, well, why is this okay, but this isn't okay? And you're just like, well, it's just because. Like, just because.
Yeah, just because we say so.
Just because we say so, because we decided that's how we're defending our bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do have people that are getting actively harmed by the church because of those kinds of beliefs, because of taking advantage of a position of power. You know, you see, like, priests taking all of the tithings that are meant to be for the church and using it to buy expensive cars. So yeah, just that kind of stuff. And I'm not like, I know there are some people out there that religion does great things for you, and that's great. I was not getting that experience.
I think we're just talking about the bad seeds, the corrupt people out there. Like, there is a lot of good out there with it, and people do and can benefit from it, but there's a lot of people that like to take advantage of people.
Take advantage of people, actively choose to harm people, and you know, there's a reason that the saying "there's no hate like Christian love."
Yes, exactly.
There's a reason that exists. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. All right, absurd.
Did you have your ugly, or were you just agreeing with all of
If you want me to slip something in too, how about slipping drugs and like the drinks at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. A little casual date rape, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're like slipping Spanish Fly and alcohol into punch to try and get girls to like have sex with them, so.
Yeah.
I mean, again, shitty characters, like, you know, but that is like a bad thing that happened in the movie.
And it's very, very ugly, for sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so absurd. I'm going to go with all the fake hair involved, because we've got the Elvis preacher at the beginning. That's a very obvious fake beard.
Yeah.
Potentially fake chest hair, we were trying to decide, but we don't get a good enough shot to really determine it. Definitely saw some fake pubic hair on Bambi at the end when she's running out of the house.
I thought that was fake, yeah. Which is weird to like even do that, but I don't know. Maybe she just wanted to not have that show.
Yeah, or maybe she, like, you know, stays shaven by choice, so they just slap something there because it's meant to be in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then also we got to talk about Zeke's shake and go wig. That why did he need that wig?
I felt like they were trying to do like a demon from Friday the 13th 5.
It didn't work. It wasn't good. Mm-mm. They missed the shake part of shake and go.
Yeah, he's got some pretty, like, I noticed that was a bad wig, and that's
at one point I swear to God the wig was on backwards for one of the scenes.
Could have been done intentionally too. You know what I mean? I feel like that's also like a funny, like, visual gag type thing too. Like, if you're like, yeah, we're making a low budget movie, let's make it look like shit, just like for fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's my absurd. Is all of the fake hair choices.
Mine are the captions are afraid to curse.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. They're. I don't know if that was done intentionally, like, in line with the movie, whenever they hired a captioning company, be like, don't put swear words on this.
But I don't know.
It's so weird.
I noticed at first, it's like, maybe they just like missed a word, but like throughout the entire movie, anytime that there's a swear, like the captions, like, just forget it. Like,
what if it was actually like some really like devout Christian that also likes horror movies, and they were really hoping that they were gonna get like a good Bible camp horror movie, and so they're like, I'm gonna volunteer and I'm gonna do captioning for it, and then they go, oh no.
That thought did cross my mind, like, maybe like a Christian person like was like, hey, I'll take that one's about God. Yeah. Like, oh no.
No.
Yeah, not a good movie for that.
Yeah.
The other thing I have is repenting masturbation, which, you know, is whenever Timmy is, he gets what I guess is his first erection, and then he, like, goes in there and is telling God he's sorry for it, and then he, like, ends up accidentally masturbating. I don't fucking know. It's so weird.
He's trying to get the boner to go away, and to be fair, he does.
Yeah, he does. This movie leaves me speechless at times, and that's one of the moments right there. Like, what the fuck am I watching here? Okay, so what do you rate this?
Dude, if it was just the first 10 minutes, it would be like a fucking 8. Mm-hmm. But the whole movie, it's like a 4.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 3.
Yeah, okay, it's so just a 3.5 average.
I was just actively like, when is this fucking thing gonna end? Like,
yeah.
I hope that doesn't like drive you guys away from hearing us talk about it, because there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
here.
There's definitely a lot to talk about. I was honestly, sometimes when a movie has such a strong opening, it can hurt it.
Yeah, for real. And then just,
I was so stoked for it after that. Talia had to go out right after the opening, and I was like, yeah, I'm ready to watch the rest of this movie.
It felt like a fucking trauma movie at the beginning. You know what I
mean?
Like, I felt like I
was. That was the kind of vibe that it gives, where it's like over the top, but you know that it's like satire and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was having a great time with it, and then just nothing happens for a long time. Yeah. So let's talk about some good shit, and then a lot of nothing, and then some good shit here.
We want to take a brief minute with a word from our sponsors, because today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped.
Quick heads up from the grooming front lines. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be a risky business anymore, thanks to our friends over at Manscaped and their Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. You can forget about nicking your bits. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe, so you can trim with confidence.
Fancy a stress-free shave and some savings? Head over to manscaped.com and snag 20% off plus free shipping with code LEASTFAVE20. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises. Travis, why don't you talk about your balls for a second, please?
I feel uncomfortable this is going to be for a lot of people.
Listen,
look, I got to tell you guys about this, because
the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd doesn't just apply to horror movies. It applies to our bodies.
It applies to men's balls. Because men's balls are absurd and ugly, too, at many times. But they don't have to be. So, I have had past experiences with some of the little razors that I've had before. They get hot. They burn, they nick you, they actually do cut a little bit. I use this thing, did not have any issues with that at all. This
he
is the cleanest fucking shave.
And he said that was the best shave of my life.
It really was, man. Like, I've never had anything like this before. So.
And I'm going to say, from a me standpoint, I appreciated that there wasn't hair trimmings all over the bathroom.
Yeah.
I feel like they maybe didn't fly as all over the place as they normally do.
Well, there is a thing that you can do with that. This thing is actually waterproof, so you can go into the shower. You can do it like that. I did not do that, but you can do that.
Okay, well, now that I know you can do that, you know that that's going to be the expectation going forward, right?
Yeah, I'll do that going forward. This is, of course, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra that we're talking about. So this thing, the fifth generation trimmer, it features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads. One for taking a little off the top, and then there's one that go for all smooth, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also has a dual LED spotlight, so when you're going down there to the dark nether regions, you can actually see what you're doing.
Yeah, Travis was really, really jazzed by that, and I will say, as somebody who's used an epilator in the past, it is helpful to be able to see the skin that you're dealing with.
It's one of those things that you never really thought about, but you're like, oh, it makes sense. I get it. It's very nice. I legitimately love this thing. It comes in a compact case, so it's easy to keep it stored away underneath the sink. That's important for people like Jesse.
It is. I don't like clutter, and our bathroom is also so fucking tiny.
Yeah.
And it's nice that this doesn't take up any additional space.
You'll love this thing. Your boss will love this thing. It's going to be great. Go check out our code, manscaped.com, leastfave20, I think it was. Yeah, leastfave20.
Yeah, if you want to get 20% off plus free shipping, use the code leastfave20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code leastfave20 at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove.
Yeah. It's also got deodorant. That's been nice.
So we start off at the Happy Day Bible Camp in 1977, and the very first lines, as you said, were, "Do you think Jesus had a big penis?"
Yeah.
And they said, except none of the guy, like, that he must, and therefore it's not a sin to have sex
or to have a big penis. Like,
to have sex, because Jesus had a penis, therefore it's okay to have sex with a penis.
Yeah.
Except none of the guys here look like Jesus.
Yeah. It's like these two girls are outside, I guess they're trying to, like, you know, figure out if they can do it. I don't know, like, that's one of the themes in this movie too. It's like trying to find loopholes in the Bible about, like, if you can do certain things.
Yeah.
If you're looking for anything about how modern people look into that stuff, look up how people over at BYU have their relations.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you the term?
What is the term? I know what it is. I can't remember what the term is, though.
It's called soaking.
Yeah. Yeah, you do P and V, but as long as you're not thrusting, it's fine. Sometimes they get around that loophole by having, like, a friend bounce on the bed.
Jump on the bed. Yep. So you're not having sex because you're not actively thrusting.
You're not having a threesome. It's not a group party. It's
your P just happens to be inside the V somehow, not by your doing.
Whoa.
And now you asked your friend, but, you know, they didn't have to do it, but they're jumping up and down and all. Holy shit, what's happening? Yeah, that's how they roll over at BYU.
Also, inside, we see a group of boys. The nerds are like, yeah, I saw Star Wars.
Did you go see Star Wars? Like, yeah, I saw Star Wars. Shit. It's gonna flop. It's not gonna do anything. I loved it. Like, that was just so fucking stupid.
Which is really funny, because Friday night we went out to eat, and the restaurant was playing Attack of the Clones, and I got real excited. I was like, Reptile Anakin! And Travis was like, what is happening? Because I thought people hate the prequels. And I was like, no, but look at this guy! It's great! And then, there's the scene with him and Padme, you know, the scene. And I'm like, because Travis is facing away from these TVs. He's got Puss in Boots playing on his side.
No, I had Batman versus Superman.
Oh, you had Batman versus Superman. That's right. Puss in Boots is in the middle of us.
This Mexican restaurant had every fucking genre you could.
Everything. There's
sports. You want superhero,
also.
You want Puss in Boots, you want Star Wars. Oh, we got softball playing in the news. Yeah.
Yeah, but at one point, our server walks up behind me as I'm going, he's telling her he hates sand. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying is these nerds made me laugh early on.
Yeah. The priest of this group here, I think it's the priest. I don't know. But he's dressed as Elvis.
Yeah. He said that he had tickets to see him.
He's mourning him.
Yeah. He just died. And then the woman sitting next to him was like, did you hear about that woman that got ordained? She's real excited about it. And she's like, I didn't really like Elvis anyway. He's drug abuser. And that's probably why he died. Mm-hmm. And he's like, kids these days have no respect.
Yeah. He storms off.
So the nerds have are talking about how they want to have sex with Betty and Bambi, and the jock boys are like, whatever, they're not gonna have sex with you. And they're like, yeah, well, we got Spanish Fly. So they drop pills into some punch and pour some what has to be really warm vodka because it was up against Chaz's junk. they pour that into the punch and take the girl, get the girls drunk real fast and take them to the woods. It's gross. Everyone else is watching and they're like, that's really sinful, but nobody does anything to help, which I think is also a really great commentary on.
Yeah. Like, they're like comment about it, like, this is fucked up. And then they just kind of like stand there and just watch it happen. Yeah. Like, okay, whatever. My next note here is Tame Impala gets stabbed through the eye. This guy looks like he's like over there rolling a joint. He's about to smoke a weed.
He gets stabbed
in the eye, and this is when we start getting the opening credits. So yeah, we get like this like onslaught of kills starting off.
Yeah, the chubby older guy didn't get his name. The Elvis priest. Yeah. So
I feel like he should have been the one to die on the toilet and not Chaz.
Right. And I made a note about that. I was like, Chaz died on the toilet. Ha. But like,
yeah, it should have been Elvis. Yes, I feel like that would have been better.
But we had to get the poop jokes in.
Yeah, we got it. You could have had the Elvis poop jokes. Everybody joked about that, man. He died on the toilet. Everybody's like, he pooped to death.
I honestly, that is like, there are a lot of ways I don't want to die. But location wise, I don't want to die on the toilet. That's so embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
I've told you before that I like to make sure that my bra and underwear match because, like, I don't want to be murdered and then the autopsist be like, wow, her underwear doesn't match.
Like, just like snicker.
Yeah. Like, and that's also why I try not to let my nails be chipped because I'm like, God, what if I have to be like that as a ghost?
You'd be the laughing stock of the world, Jesse.
Right? I don't want that.
I mean, all evidence points to yes, because Elvis, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that he was one of the most famous people on the planet, but, you know, he's probably famous because he died on the toilet, right?
I'm just saying it would be really embarrassing to die on the toilet.
I don't disagree.
And there's no way that the EMTs taking my body out of the toilet area wouldn't be like, oh man, this lady died on the toilet. She couldn't even flush her butt.
Flush your butt. Is that what people try to do?
Yes. That's probably why I died, because I was trying to flush my butt.
Okay, so the two guys are out there in the woods. They get the girls ready to go. One of them is like, okay, like, I gotta go back to the cabin. I'm cold
and I'm being bitten by bugs.
Yeah,
hard relate.
We gotta go to the cabin.
Also, she's in a jumpsuit. Like, there's no way to even kind of do like a quickie where you can be sort of covered in that. You have to get completely nakes.
Yeah, well, I mean, that kind of works well for sex. So,
well, I mean, otherwise, like, if you wanted to do a quickie in the woods, you could just do like a little pull the pants down kind of thing.
Like our next girl here, who stumbles upon a stump and then pulls. She just kind of bends over and she's like, all right, I'm ready, do it. Back door is always open.
Yeah, she says it's not a sin.
No, back door is always open for Jesus, is what she says. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, hold on. He's about to go do it, but then he ends up sinning in his pants. So he has to go back because he needs to like get something to help him get ready to go again. So he leaves her.
So the couple that has gone back to the cabin, Chaz and Bambi, we've got a guy outside of the cabin and he's playing a song talking about kicking the devil in the nutsack.
I've got the lyrics here. He's playing guitar and the lyrics are, if the devil don't like that, he better not come back. If the devil don't like that, he better lick my nutsack.
Well, the point is the lyric prompted me to describe him as Nutsack Efron.
Oh God, he does kind of look like Zac Efron.
In his High School Musical days.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So he's peeping in on the sex.
Yeah.
And the nun is like, well, that's naughty.
Yeah, so she kills him.
Chaz,
he's finished having sex and he's like, all right, I gotta go take a dump. So he gets out of bed and goes to go take a shit and he gets killed on the toilet.
Yeah, and he's definitely not flushing his butt because there's no toilet paper.
No, yeah.
He's like the poop head game? The poop head murders?
Poop time murders. You're gonna get it if you keep saying poop and something else eventually.
Midnight poopy man. That's the dog monster, but
yeah, I don't know what it is.
What is it? There's like seven of them.
Poop man. I don't fucking know. Yeah, there's a lot of them. It's a weird game. All right, so Bambi decides to get out of bed to go look for Chaz, and she finds his body and then is chased by the nun, mm-hmm. who chases her downstairs and then throws the cross at her and kills her.
Yep.
Then we get the opening credits.
And then we cut to 1984, and a van is rolling, and they are singing about Jesus, rolling down the street with Jesus.
Yeah. They arrive at a store, and they go in to go do some shopping before they arrive at camp.
Okay, this cracked me up because they're on a budget. They can't recreate 1984. Like, we saw some of this with the 70s, like, you know, the girl in the jumpsuit. Those have come back, so they were able to buy a jumpsuit for her to wear for a wardrobe, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this convenience store, it's all modern food logos, and they've tried to, like, turn them around, both so that way they don't have, you know, issues with the company being like, we don't want to be featured in your movie, but also because it's not historically accurate. And the funniest fucking one to me is the four locos in the freezer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that.
Unfortunately, instantly recognized the watermelon Four Loko.
You said that. You see, you said that, and I was like, well, yeah, this came out in 2012. I get it. Like, that, we were drinking that shit in college. Yes. And then I thought about it just now. I was like, oh, it's supposed to be in the 80s. Yes. Yeah. That shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
That is funny, though. Yeah.
So clearly, they like had friends that worked at a convenience store in the country, because there are convenience stores in the country that are like all rustic looking like this.
Yeah.
And they just turned products around.
When they're all entering the store, though, Millie enters the store and sees Dwayne, which, yeah, he was one of the guys from the camp that day, and she backs out immediately because she doesn't want to see him.
Yes. And while they're there, the Father Cummings tells JJ behind the counter that they're going down to Happy Day Bible Camp. He goes, you mean bloody, bloody Bible Camp? Why the second bloody?
I don't know. I feel like it was like making fun of Camp Blood.
Camp Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They talk about Sister Mary Chopper, mm-hmm, is the one that killed them back in 77. Yes. Over there.
Stabbed Dwayne and left him for dead. Oh, and there was some other chick too, but nobody really knows what happened to her.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious that Millie was her when I first saw her in the van, and yeah, that just gets confirmed.
And Dwayne doesn't talk anymore. He hasn't spoken since that day. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of sits here, scarred up, staring off in the distance.
Yeah.
Also, there is Tim Sullivan there, who is dressed like gothy. And yeah, Jennifer kind of takes a liking to him and starts to flirt with him a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's just pretty much it. He's just kind of like tells her she better keep the cross with her, because I don't, yeah, know, she's going to need it. I didn't get any vibes that this is going to be our killer.
Yeah, it's not like a really great setup. And again, I'm going to have to make the connection to Friday the 13th, because that was one of my biggest gripes with the first one, is that we've got nothing laying out anything leading to Pamela Voorhees as a possible suspect. She just comes up at the end like, ta-da!
Yeah.
Okay,
so they make it to the camp.
And so we see Brittany and Jennifer in their cabin, and they're kind of like bickering.
Yeah, Jennifer's got a tape that is written on it. It's called Satan's Hookers. That's her mixtape, apparently, which, mm-hmm, offends Brittany.
I think that's great. I would listen to her Satan's Hookers mixtape.
I was hoping they were going to play it. Yeah, I wanted to hear what songs. Probably for budget reasons, but get Reggie over there. Reggie, he makes, yeah, music. He can, yeah, you know, Reggie a Satan song real quick.
Tad is mean to Timmy. And because he's like making fun of him, saying he's got a boner, and then he flicks him in the penis, and it really does give him a boner, because Timmy doesn't ever touch himself down there, so all touching is tingly to him. And then when he's done, he goes, Tad! And it's Tad, very much like American Dad. Jenny!
No, it's funny because like he flicks him in the penis, and then Timmy runs off to go take care of it, and Vance is there laughing.
And they're Ted sharing, pushes him backwards.
Vance has the, yeah, like, he's got that laugh that our friend Andrew had in college. Yeah. And then, like, I feel like he just got over it. He just takes his hand, puts it on his face, and pushes him off the bed. And he's like, Ted! That's where the humor actually did land for me, because that was really funny. I like that. So yeah, he's in there, and he's taking care of himself while apologizing to God.
Yep.
And he doesn't know that that's what happens whenever you do that to yourself.
He said, is this the holy water that Father Cummings was talking about? Which, I'm sorry, you're Catholic. You should probably know what holy water is at this point.
Yeah, I don't know.
So Millie and Brother Zeke are talking with Father Cummings about the camp. It's being really cheap, and she's like, but it takes a whole day to drive here, kind of basically trying to steer them away from buying this camp.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, we could probably afford something closer to town if you guys didn't have like super expensive cars. Didn't like being called out like that.
He's like, I don't have a Jaguar. I've got a Cadillac, which is also super fucking expensive.
Yeah. So they're all around the campfire and just little bits of them talking to each other. And then as a group, they start talking about Sister Mary Chopper, you know, the story that was told by the locals. And
Father Cummings is like, well, some people just kind of tell these stories around here because they don't like outsiders so much. So they're trying to drive people like us away. So nothing really to worry about. By the way, y'all, I wrote this sweet new tune right here that I'm going to play for everybody.
About how women need to just stay the fuck in the kitchen. Am I right?
Yep. And how the men are just going to be all awesome and just doing their shit, and the women are gonna make us breakfast and lunch and dinner and serve your man.
Yeah,
and everybody's so, like, yeah, fuck yeah, Jesus.
This is a good encapsulation of the trad wife bullshit that's on TikTok right now. If you haven't seen any of that, I'm happy for you. Trad wife. Yeah.
Oh, traditional.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
So it's like all these women that just want to live on like 50 acres and have chickens and cows and not get vaccines and make cereal from scratch. But a lot of it, the irony is that like instead of doing like, you know, TikTok, like, here's my OnlyFans shit. This is basically them doing like trad wife porn. Like,
oh, for men.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read about like men like watching that and then getting onto their wives being like, why aren't you like this? I'm like, I don't know. It's just like they're just trying to appeal to like the insecure parts of your brain or something. Like, I don't
know. It's also like it's really insidious because this is how like shit like the anti-birth control movement is getting worse and worse. Like, this is how it's starting to poison young women, because they're like, oh yeah, I don't want toxins in my body and it is messing up my cycle, which is not how that science works. First of all, don't have time to go into all of that, but it's just fundamentally wrong. But basically what it's doing is it's a form of brainwashing and trying to convince, like, in a way, kind of like radicalize the youth and like get them to, you know, vote for these measures that will like, you know, outlaw access to birth control. It you know, it starts with things like Roe v. Wade and soon, you know, like Hello Gilead.
I don't think it's bad though for people to want that like stay at home like lifestyle. Like, if that's what people like, that's cool.
Absolutely great. I love that people can have that option, but saying that everybody needs to live that way is
what's
fucked up.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah
like it should be about a choice. It shouldn't just be like, well, you're a woman, so you need to be staying at home.
Yeah,
like that's messed up.
Yeah.
Okay. Also really unrealistic in today's economics structure, but
it is. Yeah. All right, let's course correct. Let's get back to Bible camp here. Okay, so it is...
Brittany is taking her shirt off in front of a very open window where she can definitely see Zeke staring at her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Jennifer, do you like my boobs? Are my boobs great?
I kind of
love that confidence in her. Just feeling, my boobs are great, right? And Jennifer's like, they are great. They are great. And Cummings catches him and he's like, that's pretty fucked up. But hey, you're not looking at the boys at least. So that's also fucked up. And then he's like, give me your weed.
Yeah, he's got a joint and he's like, yeah, give me that joint. He also like confiscated his beer earlier that he bought at the store. Millie is having a nightmare of Dwayne climbing on top of her, and she wakes up and that's that.
Yep.
So next day, they're doing the Bible Bowl today.
They make an announcement over the camp intercom, which, first of all, where is this camp intercom? Why are they making the announcement? There's like two cabins.
They just wanted to be official. I get it. If I had the tools, I'd use them. You know what I mean? All right. So the Bible Bowl is basically just like a trivia game that they all play together.
It's how they're deciding who the best Christian is.
Yeah. And really...
I'm sorry. This is very... It makes me think of all of the reality TV shows I watch where they'll do like a trivia mini challenge type thing. And like as soon as one team wins, it's like an early like... but they try and like convince the audience that means that they're definitely gonna run away, and that's why they do, because Timmy gets the first question. They're like, all right guys, Timmy is really running away with this. He's got 1 point.
He's like, all right, well, we need to give it to somebody else over here because Timmy's really launched himself ahead of everybody over here, and it's just like 1 point. Also, Tad's got like a huge exclamation mark next to his name on the board. Tad.
That, yeah, there's a lot of homophobia and I got the questions here. I don't want to go through the questions and answers because they make me uncomfortable.
It's just like, what's the eighth commandment? Thou shalt not steal. First son of Adam and Eve, it's Cain. What happens if you don't ask for forgiveness before you die? You go to hell, which apparently, you know, Jennifer's like, well, does that mean that Hitler gets to go to heaven if he asks for forgiveness for all the things that he did? And he's like, I mean, yeah, probably Hitler's in heaven now.
And then they start getting into like the more uncomfortable ones that people use as justification for a lot of icky things, like again, like, oh, who killed Jesus? That's
yeah, let's give this one to somebody else that can really stump them, and they give it to Brittany.
And she pantomimes it and then finally sits it out. I don't want to repeat the way she says it. And they say something about abortions, and they're like, sorry, Jennifer. And she goes, okay, well, what if you're raped by your grandfather and you're 12 years old? What if God's a woman and that happened? And they're like, well, God's not a woman, so...
Well, first of all, through God, all things are possible. So jot that down.
Yeah, so it quickly devolves from like Bible trivia to like, hey, these are our like talking points that we're gonna use to be discriminatory to people because we feel like it.
Yeah. So in the end, Timmy wins the bowl. He's the best Christian of them all.
Yeah.
Then we get this nice little group swimming montage. They all go down by the lake. I like this part because it's just a bunch of them having fun together.
It really does look like the cast is just having fun by the lake because it's a montage, so we don't really hear people talking.
You hear Timmy and Tad talking, and they're having the most fun together. That's the pairing that I didn't expect.
Yeah, we were watching that, and I was like, I kind of got the impression that they were like the actors themselves were actually maybe friends because of the way they were playing around with each other.
It seemed that this scene right here made me realize that Tad's actor, he's like a fucking great physical actor because he's out there like making all these gestures and shit out in the like lake, and like, damn, he's like. Fucking like the way his body's moving, like motion out there. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of captivating to watch.
There's also Millie is like, it's very strongly hinted that she's like into Jennifer.
Yeah.
Well,
then she's like feeding her over there.
Yeah. Like, you know, massaging her. And yeah, she's like, you're really pretty. Let's go on a nature walk together. Meanwhile, over at the convenience store, Dwayne writes the word Gloria on a chalkboard, and his brothers are like, well, we warned them. You know, that's about all we can do in this situation.
What is Gloria supposed to be?
That is Millie's real name.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, right.
So they go on their nature walk. Jennifer and Millie kind of talk about Jennifer questioning her faith. Tad has some repressed homosexuality.
Yeah, he's like doing chin-ups. Yeah, he's like, you are not a homosexual. You have straight thoughts. It's like stuff like that.
I'm like, that kind of makes me sad for him. Yeah. Like, go be a fun little gay boy. Like, have life the way you want to have life, man. You're not hurting anybody by being gay.
Ted's the best character in this thing, though. It was just so funny that, and like Brittany walks up and he just like gets down and like he hops down. He's like, oh yeah, you're kind of cute, and like they kind of like have it back and forth.
A horse face. Yeah. And she goes, but I've got perky boobs.
Yeah. He's like, all right, well, I'm gonna go rub one out real quick, so I'll be back later. He just like walks off. She finds Vance and she's like, all right, what are you doing, Vance? And he's like, oh, I'm reading the Bible, trying to find loopholes in the Bible. And she's like, what kind of loopholes?
It's like about sodomy.
Yeah, first off, sodomy is like, what? Yeah, he has to like explain the whole thing to her.
Zeke comes up and he's being like, he's hitting on his counselor / you know, church parishioner basically, and then she drops some casual racism because of her daddy says she's not allowed to be around black boys, and that's, god, she's got some icky lines that she has to say throughout.
She reminds me of the girl from Sleepaway Camp 3.
Yeah
All right,
I know,
so,
that's who I was thinking of too, the cheerleader.
Yeah, exactly. Throughout this whole thing, not just like this, but like throughout this movie, yet up until this point, we've had shots of Sister Mary Chopper just kind of like at her shrine, just like doing shit, speaking, just kind of being there. Like, I don't know, it was kind of pointless. It was pissing me off. Like, yeah. I was like, just like have them out there running around doing shit, which we now finally have because Sister Mary Chopper is out walking through the woods now.
Yeah, so Zeke and Tad have a plan to like get some of the girls drunk.
Get beer and condoms. Yeah. Zeke is like, all right, I'm going to go back to the convenience store to go get that. That way we can get the girls all loose and have and some fun. And
Tad's like, I'm not gay. Why do I need condoms?
Like, yeah, well, you remember think I'm going to have like, HIV and like, do it yeah. in the butt?
Because remember, for a long time, that's how AIDS was treated. It was just as a homosexual man's disease, which yeah. caused a lot more grief and strife than it should have. But
yeah. So Zeke runs over to the van. He's going to go get in there and drive off. But as he arrives at the door, Sister Mary Chopper's there and chops his head off.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a flashback of Sister Mary Chopper being told that they can never be a priest because the mom is going to make them a girl.
Yeah. So Father Cummings and Millie stop Zeke as he's walking to his cabin, stop Tad as he's walking to his cabin to ask about Zeke, and he lies and says he went to the convenience store for matches, and they're like, that's weird, we have so many matches.
Yeah. Oh, and this is like after Tad told Brittany to meet him at the fire pit at yeah. midnight too, because you know they're gonna have sex and shit.
Tad walks back to his cabin and he sees the van, and when he looks into the van he sees Zeke's body and freaks out, runs, and is killed up against a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Millie and Cummings talk some more. I didn't really write what they were talking about because all I could focus on was how badly she was mic'd. Yeah, every time it cut to her for like, I'm going to say a solid 40 minutes of this movie, her audio was noticeably worse than everybody
Hers
else's.
Was the worst. She, like, after, like, later on in the movie, I think she got the good one. Like, I think they gave
they
her the bad one.
A bad mic somewhere.
Yeah, like, once they kill her off enough, people are like, okay, now we can give you the good mic back. But now her and Father Cummings are talking. He's like, the Lord has blessed her bank account. We can actually afford to purchase this place now. And he's like, I don't sense any enthusiasm from you, Millie. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I just, you know, I don't really know what to say. And then like she goes to leave to go check on the others.
Brittany is sneaking out of the cabin to go meet Tad by the fire pit, and Timmy decides he's gonna go look for a soda machine. He's very optimistic that he will find one. Cummings is smoking Zeke's joint, and he is looking at a magazine that.
Did you read the name of it?
Communion.
Communion. Communion. I love it, and it's just like a bunch of just like gay priests, I think is what it is. That's pretty funny. I like that
yeah,
a lot.
That was
a good joke.
That was a good little like visual yeah. joke, and at least they were like all adults. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
He hears a knock on the door, and he goes to answer it, and it's Sister Mary Chopper.
Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she stabs him thrice.
Yep.
Millie goes to the office and she has two little like airplane bottles of liquor in her pocket, and so she goes to look for a cup because she realizes she's alone and can drink. And when she opens up the drawer, she sees a newspaper clipping of what happened and realizes that Father Cummings knew about what had happened at the camp and knew that she had been there.
Yeah. Brittany gave up at the fire pit because Tad never showed up, so now she's back at her cabin and in bed.
She lays down in the bed with a whole other human in it and doesn't notice.
Yeah, and it's Sister Mary Chopper, like, straight up in their gear, like, mask and nun outfit on and everything. And she's like, oh, hey, Tad, because she thinks it's Tad for some reason. It's like, look, I heard about this loophole. I think Jesus is actually okay if I do it in the butt because it's not technically sex. So, Mary
sister.
Chopper, Sister Mary Chopper.
Yeah, you were combining Sister
yeah.
and Mary.
Takes the cross and starts shoving
inserting
it up her butt and then chokes her with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she dies, quotation marks. She doesn't really die. We see it later.
Yeah. So Jennifer finds Brittany's body and she runs into Millie, tells her, and she's like, we gotta go find a phone. So when they run, she runs into the office ahead of Millie and sees the newspaper article laying out and learns that Millie is Gloria.
I thought for a minute here that Millie was gonna be
the
killer.
That's where I thought I was going, and I thought that would have been way more interesting.
Yeah, I thought it would have been better because like we saw
take
Millie
take out all of those shots of Sister Mary Chopper at the altar.
He could even still have those, like Millie's unaccounted for some scenes. I don't know, like the, you know, but like I thought like I mean, at the beginning, in the opening scene, she witnessed something and she's kind of stunned and she's in the room by herself. So, like, that's the last that we see of her. I thought that maybe she snapped and just started killing everybody.
No, instead she reveals that she was a counselor there 7 years ago and everybody, like, went off and she was having sex with Dwayne and Dwayne got attacked and she freaked out and ran off and never knew what happened until she saw him in the convenience store. And Jennifer calls out how fucked up that is.
Yeah. So she goes running.
Dwayne is missing the next morning. His board is on his brother Skunk, and it just has the word revenge. Millie walks out of the office, sees Timmy and Sister Mary Chopper behind him. Doesn't stop to do it. Like, this is the slowest moving thing ever. She's just like, oh, Timmy.
Yeah, she doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Timmy's
head explodes.
He's got the coolest stuff. Yeah. They actually did a good job filming this. Sister Mary Chopper picks up a cinder block and just drops it on his head. It's pretty great. Then Millie gets axed in her you-know-what, so she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jennifer, she's being chased.
She runs. She finds Vance is, like, kind of crucified in a doorway, and Sister Mary Chopper ends up pulling him down and killing him the rest of the way. She runs into, like, a confession booth, and she's, like, doing, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then,
that's all I know of it. Is that it? That's the Lord's Prayer, right? Is that the Lord's Prayer?
I used to have to do this all the time before every baseball game because my baseball coach made us do this in our huddles before games.
It's okay. We prayed before dance performances, and we all had to cross our, like, hold hands and cross our feet. And
We were all in a circle, too. The only thing is, though, I didn't know it, so I kind of winged it every single time, so I never really learned it. I, like, seeing it written out, I know that I said a lot of incorrect shit back then. So, I don't know. I don't know the words to it, either.
So, Cummings is actually not dead, and Jesus appears to him in the form of Ron Jeremy, and that's a whole other problematic thing we can go into, but we won't today. Ron Jeremy isn't a good man.
But I'm going to say it. He's pretty great in this movie.
It is kind of a funny casting choice.
He does the best delivery of any actor in this movie. He is a good actor.
So what's really great is he's like, he sees Father Cummings, and he's like, it's really super cool that you're gay. You know that, like, we're cool with that, right? Like, it's okay. Like, go do your gay thing. We're fine with it. And Father Cummings goes, but I also brought these kids here, and now they're being murdered. And he goes, well, we're not cool with that shit. Go save the day.
Yeah. And he just walks off.
So Dwayne and his brothers arrive, and Sister Mary Chopper is there, and, like, kind of there's a little bit of a fight, but not much of a fight. She gets knocked over. It's revealed that that's Tim Sullivan from earlier at the convenience store. And she kills the big brother, JJ, who falls on top of Dwayne and I guess kind of just squishes him to death.
I guess so. Yeah.
Cummings appears and does some of the saddest punches I've ever seen.
This is so poorly choreographed, and I feel like it's intentional, but, like, it just, like, it's so bad to watch. But, like, he beats the shit out of Sister Mary Chopper and I guess kills her.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
And then Jesus.
He stabs her, doesn't he? Yeah, he stabs her with the cross. Yeah.
And then Jesus appears again to Jennifer and Father Cummings, and he says, come on, let's go. We're all good. Quit your complaining. We're all going to heaven because heaven's for everybody. And then he looks directly in camera, raises an eyebrow, and says, except for you.
You know why I think that he was cast?
Why?
Because of the opening line. Do you think Jesus has, or Jesus probably had a big penis?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's.
Oh my God, what delayed gratification for a joke.
I know, right? Like, I feel like it makes sense because of that. Like, oh, Jesus is Ron Jeremy.
Oh my God, that's great. We do get, like, a brief mid-credit scene where we find out that Brittany is still alive and she is looking for Tad and saying that she did it up the butt. She's not a butt virgin anymore, but she kind of liked it.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
What's up?
So that's how the movie goes.
Honestly, I feel like if we cut out, like, 20 minutes of it,
even then, it's still struggling.
I mean, Sister Mary Chopper Millie, I feel like it'd be more interesting.
You gotta like spread it out, man. You gotta get Sister Mary Chopper in there killing some people throughout the camp. Like you can't have like a lot of camp going on of like no killing going on in a horror movie and then have it be purely just the beginning and just the ending.
Yeah, highs and lows in a movie.
You can do that, but you have to have like other suspense or like something else worth watching for the other half of it. Because like it's just a lot of nothing
going
down.
If you just want it to be a lot of slashing, that's cool. Pad your cast more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've watched movies like that. Generally not mad about it, but, like, I want it to be more interesting. Like, I wanted to root for this movie.
We had enough.
After the opening and right there at the end.
Yeah.
It's just everything that it was.
No, we had enough people for them to do it. They had, like, we've seen so many camp horror movies with this amount of people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It kind of gave me vibes of, was it Bloody Summer Camp? Or...
Which one are you talking about?
The one...
Oh, the Camp Blood?
Camp Blood. Yeah.
The one, like, where it's like the Friday the 13th ripoff?
Yes.
Except actually really well done.
Yes. And I remember, like, I kind of got shades of that, like, okay, it's a skeleton crew for a camp, and maybe we can have a little bit of fun with that, because they even show them, like, trying to do, like, mess hall duties and stuff like that. Yeah. We even do get, like, because I really wanted those two girl roommates, and I wanted them to hook up, like, and we kind of get shades of that with Millie and Jennifer, and, like, there's...
Dude, the Millie and Jennifer thing is not good.
It's not good because she's a counselor. Yeah.
Like Millie and Brittany, sure.
But like, it made me think of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched this, what I would tell people, I mean, obviously watch it for yourself, draw your own conclusion, but my stronger recommendation would be watch the first 10 minutes and then go watch Camp Blood.
Or just watch Camp Blood. I think that, I don't even know if that's the right name. I think it might be.
It's something like that. It's something that's very obvious. Like, I don't watch
Bloody Murder.
Bloody Murder! That's what it is, because they play the game Bloody Murder.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
That's what it is. Yeah. The second one is okay. It's not as good, but the first one's excellent. Okay. I'm 3.5. I'm not going to down some. Oh. I'm just mad, like, talking about it. Like...
Yeah, I'm keeping mine at 3 also.
So 3.25. What was Scout's favorite part, Travis?
I think because Scout was high this movie, whenever...
Dude, she was playing... She got into her catnip before we started watching, and she was, like, fucking on one, you guys. You don't even understand how she gets when she gets nippy like that.
She was zonked. So I think it was whenever Father Cummings was reading the communion and smoking the doobie.
Oh, Travis. Obviously, her favorite part is the lake montage, because she wants to be a little panther in the lake.
That's true.
And she gets a little rassly, just like Timmy and Tad were.
That's her and Zoe.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah. Okay, I can get behind that. I think that's pretty true. I think both of them are true. All right.
Who did you relate to?
Shit. I guess I related to Vance because, like, he's just there, like, actually doing camp, which is, like, what I would probably be doing. You know what I mean? Like, he really is, like, just the character that's there. Like, he's, like, not that interesting in this scenario. I don't think I fit in the mold of any of these other characters.
I think I probably relate to Jennifer because I'm pretty sure... The Fellowship of Christian Athletes and I made a mutual decision that I would not be returning to any of their meetings after they said something about gay students. And I was like, gay students are awesome. And they're like, no, they're going to hell. And I was like, don't think I agree. And they're like, pretty sure we don't agree. And I just never went back to another meeting.
Right. I think that's pretty much what would have happened with Jennifer, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it happened at... some summer program I went to too. They tried to, like, they had like mini groups, mini club type things, and a similar type of thing happened where they're like, what do you do when you encounter these challenges in life, such as, you know, if a good friend were to come out to you? And I was like, you would be supportive of that friend. And they're like, no, you preach to them. And I was like, but then that's not good. And they're like, but that's what the Bible says. And I was like, I don't agree. Cool. And then so I've been Jennifer in that situation multiple times.
I've been Jennifer in that situation too. I've had to like have that same conversation before with many people. Okay, so let's do a dream sequel. How how can we, like, this seems like a movie that could actually, because, like, we do get the ending with Sister Mary Chopper waking up and being alive.
Mm-hmm.
So we can continue it, and you can make this good, I think. The premise is there. It's good. I think that the killer is pretty good. Like,
I want to cut to the 90s. I want to see Jennifer in her grunge phase, and I want to see her trying to do, like, a more, like, I guess, radical kind of church camp where they are, like, actually, like, hey, we accept LGBTQ campers. We accept campers of all races, all denominations. We also talk about other, like, I could see her becoming that kind of, like, a positive camper.
Okay.
And then maybe Sister Mary Chopper comes back because she's still, like, you know, hey, we're going to do things super biblically.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like Old Testament. Like, you could still, I feel like that would be like a good way for you to like get a cast of characters to still be able to tackle the same type of humor, but maybe like another opportunity to write it better.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
They had good bones in some of the scenes there. I think they just needed a little bit of editing, and maybe they needed an outside set of eyes and perspective. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what's so frustrating about movies like this, where I'm like, you've got good ideas, just...
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, it's just, come on. You could have done so much better with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, I feel that too. Okay, so I've got reviews for us.
Okay.
So, as is tradition for our to be or not to be's, we pull a good and a bad.
Go ahead and read the bad first, since that's where we landed, and then okay. We can have a good discussion about the good review. All
right, so user review on IMDb, they rated it 2 out of 10. And it's titled As Trashy As It Sounds. So the review says, a blockheaded comedy horror with religious overtones, Bloody Bloody Bible Camp is as silly and cheesy as it sounds. I always find that the presence of a Ron Jeremy cameo guarantees that a film will be really bad, and so it proves here.
excuse me, go watch Jersey Shore Massacre.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I was actually thinking about it earlier this week.
I get it. Like, it's a fine movie, but like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's not like objectively a great movie. All right, so they go on to say, to my surprise, he plays Jesus in this film, which may be the most imaginative that the movie gets. Otherwise, it's an inept trauma-style trash flick, complete with cheap effects, voyeurism, lots of cheese, wooden acting, and Phantasm's Reggie Bannister as a priest.
Okay. They said some things that would sell me on it, but wouldn't deliver. Because if they said trauma style cheese fest, I would have been like, hell yeah, I'm watching this. And then I would have been like, your 2 out of 10 review steered me wrong for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it does have that trauma potential. And at the beginning, it does kind of match that, but it just kind of falls apart eventually. Okay. So I've got a good review. This person rated it 10 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay. I'm really excited to hear that perspective on it.
They say, this movie will make you jump, laugh, and say, what the bleep? I don't know if they didn't.
They must have watched it with captions.
They must have. Like, it could be hell, fuck. I don't know. Like, yeah. You know.
Choose your own swear.
But you say whatever it is, all in the same scene, and at the end, you'll be glad you watched it. A great mix of classic horror and comedy, and then you add in Ron Jeremy playing Jesus, and you will have an instant classic. I love that they have, like, Ron Jeremy as Jesus is going to make it a classic. And the other person's like, yeah, Ron Jeremy is going to make it a shit movie. the movie will keep you wanting to see what happens next. And the soundtrack is fitting for the time the movie takes place, early 80s. And funny enough to have you and your friends singing when the movie is over. It has the gore and the chicks every good horror movie should require, and plot has a few hidden things you only pick up the more you watch it. If you are reading user reviews on this movie, stop now and just watch it yourself. You won't be disappointed.
Okay. I appreciate that they like the moments with it, and I am glad for them that it kept being interesting throughout for them.
I'm sure this movie is perfect for a lot of people out there. It just wasn't perfect for me.
I think it would be fine for like a cleaning the house kind of movie, you know,
yeah,
like
I could
something
see
that you have on and like you can like as you're walking through like dusting and you're like, oh yeah, cool, this is the cool kill scene, and then like you go back to doing whatever.
I agree. I think that it would be pretty fine for something like that, but I'm not gonna sit there. Like, it's not gonna hook me whenever I'm watching it. Like, I'll sit and watch like a scene or two.
Honestly, and I say this about a lot of the movies, like if it came on randomly on its own that, you know, I might leave it on, this is one that I don't know that I would. I don't know if it came on, I'd be like, eh, let's
if
look
it
for
got
something else.
Past the opening, I'd be like, okay, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and put it on something else now.
Yeah, I'm just really, like, that opening had me so hyped for the rest of the movie. Because I was like, cool, they're hilarious. They've got gory kills. They're not taking themselves too seriously. And then the rest of the movie just didn't live up to that for me.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
But if you have any different feelings about this movie, please feel free to tell us.
Because
we're happy to hear that stuff.
If you have watched this, or if you're prompted to watch this for yourself and you feel differently about it, or if you feel the same, just let us know either way what you think about this movie. Because we're curious to know. We like to know what different people like about different things. And apparently, you know, some things like Ron Jeremy as Jesus can be a hit and a miss for completely different people. So
that's true. I mean, like we say in the opening, every movie has its fan base.
Yeah.
And we're not the fan base for this, but you know, if you are, that's totally cool.
Yeah, I am happy for the people that had a good time with this.
I am too.
Anytime that I'm not enjoying a movie, it's not that I'm like, ah, this movie is the worst thing in the world. It's because I'm mad because I want to enjoy every movie I watch.
That's how I mean? I don't go into a movie like, God, I hope I hate this.
Yeah, I don't think the movie owes me anything, but like, I want to have a good time with it. And I'm so mad when I can see that it's got like really good ideas there and it just isn't, it isn't getting it for me.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that it does for other people. So.
Okay. Well, that's it for our to be or not to be for this month.
Yep. Let's see. Yeah, this is actually the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Budget patrons, if you haven't checked it out yet, your bonus episode for March was uploaded yesterday. Unless you're listening to this on the Patreon feed, in which case, I don't know. I don't.
It's there.
we have our first April movie coming up in a few days on our regularly scheduled Thursday, and that is going to be our introduction into the extended Pooniverse. Which is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really excited to talk about this movie. I am pumped up. We watched it a few days ago, and I've just been more and more excited to talk about it the more I think about it. So
I'm excited for it too.
We haven't talked about it with each other yet.
We've had like minor discussions, but we're trying to save it for the episode.
Yeah, we kind of did an overall how do you feel kind of thing with each other, but we haven't really talked about it beyond that.
Right.
So that is coming up. Be sure that you check out our social media to see the whole month schedule, to participate in polls, see where to watch, things like that. So you can find us on Instagram and Threads at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, on Twitter and Blueski at Least Fave Pod. You can find us on our website, which is leastfavoritescarymovie.com, and you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com. We also, speaking of our patrons, would like to shout out those beautiful bubbies of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Joe
Freakatron,
as is his name, Amber, Michael, Lord Zombie, and Tyler.
Yeah, thank you all so much.
Yes, we appreciate you guys so much. You keep the lights on over here, as we like to say, and by the lights we mean our website. We also want to thank the people that do take time to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We see those numbers. We see those reviews. We really appreciate them. If you want to show us support in a non-monetary way, that is an excellent way to do it. In addition to just like sharing our episodes and stuff, we love seeing things like that. I love it when people are like, oh my God, listening to this is hilarious. It makes me want to watch the movie again. Great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We love hearing that.
And also sharing reviews of like things that we talk about, like this one right here. If you've got any thoughts that you want to share with us, please send them our way.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So I think that's it. Be sure to tune in on Thursday for the first ever Pooh-sploitation movie.
Yeah, we're gonna get
one of our friends called it.
Deep into the extended universe that's about to unfold here, people.
Thank you, public domain laws.
All right. We'll see y'all then.
All right.
Bye.